Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
Now, we've got a special guest in the studio, and I'm very excited to say we've got Laura Godian's in. And are you warm enough?
Just a bit, yeah.
So we are going to keep... Normally, we do about sort of 45 minutes. We're going to probably do 20, 25 minutes, if that's okay. We've got a lot to get through. But first of all, you've got some hot news. You've been interim for so long.
I'm now not interim. I am the permanent Director of Adult Social Care and Housing Needs at the Isle of Wight Council. And thank you, Ian, for your support.
My campaigning days are over. I don't need to count. No, congratulations.
Thank you.
I think it's in safe hands.
I will carry on doing the very best I can.
Well, I'm sure you will. And, you know, even if you're only at 98% today because of the weather, that'll be fine.
I think it's more like 95, if we're honest.
No, congratulations. I think that is great news. And I read something with interest this morning about, you know, dementia and so on. There's lots of things that we can talk about between now and when we finish. So what's top of the agenda?
Top of my agenda today is how hot everybody is. And I know last time I was here, I was saying, make sure you all drink plenty of water. I just want to reiterate that message. We know you've heard it on your own station this morning through the weather forecast that we're in the middle of a heat wave. And for people who are vulnerable, that's really quite harmful. And the risk to their health and their well-being is considerable. So I've got a couple of requests, if I may. The first is, if you live near or next door to somebody who's on their own and vulnerable, please just check on them. You might be the only face they see today, and just making sure they're okay, they're nice and cool, and they've got access to cold water is a really, really good and positive thing you can do for your local community. My second request is that everyone looks after themselves. So be sensible. We hear all of the time, open your windows, close your curtains. Please don't get those round the wrong way. Make sure that you're drinking plenty of water, staying out of the midday sun, really important. And today, unless you need to be out and about, take it easy. Stay at home, stay in the cool, have fans on, make sure all of your medication is kept in the fridge if it needs to be, but that you're supporting each other and helping yourself to stay well. It's really easy to dehydrate in weather like this, and once you start to dehydrate, that comes with obvious impact. And what we don't want is people being poorly and taking up valuable resource when it's avoidable through good self-care.
Yeah, that's good advice, and I must admit, I'm always guilty of not drinking enough, and I've made a point of, Laura says I've got to drink more, so I am. And in the last couple of days especially, I've been making a point of, you know, because it's easy to forget, but I don't see how you can forget, because you know you're thirsty, you know you need fluids, and, you know, non-alcoholic fluids. That to me is just common sense, so do it. And I would even say, if you've got a timer on your phone or your watch, and you're one of these people that needs to be reminded, maybe set a timer every half an hour to have a drink.
Look, I'm a middle-aged, overweight, menopausal woman. Drinking for me is absolutely mandatory at the moment. I'm sticking with water. The heat is so much, we need to make sure we're looking after each other and ourselves properly.
And it don't matter how you keep drinking. Keep drinking as much as you possibly can. You are going to lose it at some point. You will. It's that warm, so look after yourself. I would imagine a numbers high with people, you know, collapsing and being rushed in.
When it gets hot like this, we see people who have heart problems, respiratory problems, really struggling. And it's largely because they carry on living life as normal without stopping to think about maybe adjusting daily routines and looking after themselves a bit better. That then has a knock-on effect with our hospital, and we see the number of people going to the emergency department increased, with admissions to hospital increased, and people getting stuck there. So looking after our NHS is something that we've all become really familiar with over the last 2.5 years, and this is just a different way we can do that. Make sure you look after yourself and you look after vulnerable people who you know.
Yeah, absolutely right. Bang on. What's the next on the agenda?
So next on the agenda is just a bit of a reminder, and I'm not the Director of Public Health. He's a far more clever person than I'd ever be.
I wonder what you were going to say then.
But I just wanted to remind people that we're seeing an increase in the amount of COVID virus and infection circulating in our community. And for the people I am responsible for, our older residents, people with life-limiting conditions and those who are vulnerable, we can continue to help them by maybe wearing our masks where and when we're in close proximity to others. I just wanted to remind everyone that hand sanitizer continues to be your best friend, and please make sure you're looking after yourself. COVID can impact on anyone at any time, and this current situation is seeing an increase in numbers right across the island, so we all just need to protect ourselves to protect others.
Yeah, I did hear on the news two Fridays ago, it was national news, one in 34 had it, and then 2 weeks later one in 24 had it, and you just think it is getting, and you're hearing a lot of people, elderly people, that are now picking it up, probably for the first time, probably because they've relaxed the rules that they have around them and so on, and probably because other people have relaxed a little bit. So maybe they play a major part in keeping elderly safe, and you wear the mask as well. And maybe in some cases it might be beneficial for the younger people to wear the mask and let the older person not, in these current conditions, because it's really, really hot.
Absolutely.
The main thing is to be aware.
Definitely. And I think we've seen our hospital moving to wearing masks within the St Mary's premises at the moment. GPs are back to wearing masks. It's about keeping people safe. Quite apart from the obvious impact of infection and spreading infection, we know we struggle with workforce for health and care on the island. If our health and care workers are out sick, that's less people to help the people who really need help. So we can all support each other. And just a little reminder from me to consider wearing your mask and make sure you're using your hand sanitizer. When I was tiny, I learnt to wash my hands. It's amazing how quickly people forget the importance of good hand hygiene. So please make sure you're looking after each other.
Yeah, sensible. To me, it's just common sense, and just be aware of it, you know, and keep that distance as well. I mean, I still make a point of trying to keep at least a meter away from people. I don't think there's any need to panic.
Not at all.
I don't think we're going to go back to where we were 2 years ago, but I think we just need to be aware that it is around and you can get it quite easily, and you don't want it. Especially
Absolutely.
When you get to a certain age. So keep yourself safe.
And the best thing for me that came out of COVID by a long shot is social distancing. I hate hugging. I'm not a hugger. And for 2 years, I had a really good excuse not to. So
me too. You know, I'm not a hugger.
That whole keep your distance thing has been really beneficial personally.
Yeah. I must admit, it was nice to get back to doing some kind of hugging, but I soon got fed up with it.
Yeah, you see, I didn't even go back to it. All the excuse I needed.
Okay, what's next on the agenda? I know there's something you want to really plug and let everybody know about.
There are two things. The first is our dementia strategy, and you mentioned dementia right at the very beginning. Since I was last here, we've launched the Isle of Wight dementia strategy. Two really big differences in that strategy from where we've been before. The first is it was led by our voluntary sector partners. So the Dementia Awareness Partnership, Health Watch, Carers Isle of Wight, the Alzheimer's Cafe and Age UK shaped that piece of work for us. And as statutory partners, we stepped away and asked them to really make sure that the voice of local people shaped the strategy. Everything in that strategy is what people on the Isle of Wight told us they needed from services, told us they wanted from services, and told us would really make a difference in their life. Having a strategy is all well and good. It's about how we implement that. Mm. And at the moment, we're pulling together that implementation plan, working with key partners. What that will mean, hopefully, moving forward, is that for people with dementia on the island, for their loved ones, for their families and the people who care for them, we'll have a different offer. The ability to be more proactive in supporting people, to help them get quicker diagnosis and quicker support, but also to manage living with dementia in the place that they choose to, with the community that they want and the people that they love. We're currently working with our partners in the Alzheimer's Cafe to pull together an offer for a dementia hub on the island, somewhere where everyone can go to access the support that they need, which was one of the very key messages that came up time and time again from local people. We want a space where we can get help, a one-stop shop where we can go and we know that there's people who've got the right skills to help us, available to help us. So that's a real priority for us moving forward. I think it's really exciting to be able to do something so different for an illness that's so debilitating for local people is really important. My grandmother and my grandfather both had dementia and died as a result of their illness. It's something that personally I'm very close to, and something I feel really passionately about, making sure people have a journey that enables them to live their best life right the way through their illness. So really positive news on that space, and great to be taking that forward with partners who know that space better than we ever could hope to.
That's great. It's really kind of, it's one thing that's been that's really bothered me over the last sort of year or so, is the amount of people now that are being diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and it's a scary thing, because you just watch people that were having a fantastic life, and they were, you know, mentally with it and so on, and all of a sudden to be reduced to that problem, those problems that they're going to have, everyday problems. Yeah, I love the fact that, you know, people are now taking it more seriously and putting things in place. And I did read this morning in the news that the NHS have got somewhere where you can go 7 days a week, which is great, because that's one of my biggest bugbear. It's 7 days a week. What are you saying? You don't have it on Saturday and Sunday. You just have it Monday to Friday. And that is music to my ears, hearing the fact that someone's available for 7 days a week.
Ian, it's one of my biggest passions. I know from the last 5 years I've been in adult social care that if I need somebody to have a crisis, they're not going to have it between 9 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the afternoon when my office is open. When somebody needs support, when somebody needs help, that always happens late at night, overnight, over the weekend, when that help isn't available. So we've actually looked at our adult social care services, and we've now got a 7 day a week offer as well. So my social workers are available 7 days a week to support people in the community where they need emergency help in those crisis situations. For health and social care, 7 day a week working should be our norm, regardless of which part of the system you work in.
Yeah.
People need help, and they need it when they need it. They can't wait till 9 o'clock Monday morning to make a call. So we remain really committed to that, and I'm hoping more of my services will move to 7 days a week as we move over the next 18 months, 2 years.
Brilliant. It's see, they've got the right person in the job now, haven't they? None of this interim nonsense. You know, knowing that you see that, and, you know, because that's probably been an annoyance to a lot of people. Well, I can't do anything today because it's Sunday. We'll have to wait until Monday. No, that is music to my ears. It really is. And say, so well done to you for putting it into place. But Does it then put a pressure on your team, knowing full well, it's coming round to the question I asked you about 2 months ago when you last came in, the amount of jobs that are going in your sector?
It does put pressure on the team, but it also provides opportunities. Not everyone wants to work Monday to Friday. We all have different life styles, different work-life balances now, and it enables me to offer my team the opportunity to work more flexibly in a way that works for them. And it might be that some people prefer to work over the weekends than through a normal working week. Mm. So it gives us the opportunity to facilitate that. It doesn't create any additional pressure. The resource I've got is the resource I've got, and will always be pressured. I don't think it really matters how much I've got of support for people. People will always need more, which is a sad reflection on life itself. But people are living longer, which is great news. With living longer comes conditions and ailments that perhaps we've not seen as society before, and we need to work with people to manage that. But it won't create any additional pressure. It just gives greater flexibility for our services.
I wonder what it was like 30 years ago when it wasn't so prevalent and so on to what it is now, the problems that we have now. It'd be just interesting to sort of be able to look back. And I know looking back's not the best thing, but sometimes we might learn from it. Here we are now. We've got all these masses of problems, masses of people being diagnosed and so on. Do we have the correct things in place? Do we have the correct amount of funding? Do we have the correct amount of support? It must have been so, so easy 30 or 40 years ago than it is now. It must be such a job to have that you've got all these things to work out and put in place.
Yeah, I was looking at my budget yesterday. I look at it every single day, but we were doing some reflection, and over the last 5 years the budget for adult social care has been reduced by over £10 million. That's not of the Isle of Wight Council's doing. That's central government funding that's just not coming through. And I know that your listeners will look every single March, as I do, at their council tax bill and think, flipping heck, it's gone up again. But the money that people are paying to the council predominantly now goes on adult social care and children's social care, and it's used to support people who really need the care and support. in the community who can't afford that themselves. So I would ask a little tolerance next time you receive your council tax bill, and perhaps just stop and think that actually about 60% of your council tax contribution, if not more, now goes to supporting vulnerable members of our community on the island.
And they're probably worse off than you are, so just, you know, yeah, just go with it. And yeah, I'm glad you pointed out the fact that it's not council, it's, you know, national government that have put the you know, the funds, that the, they divvy up the funds. So maybe change is needed, because I don't ever remember being you know, this, you know, 30-40 years ago, yes, you had granny that needed care, yes, you had aunties and uncles that needed care, but I would imagine, you know, so many more people with different problems at different ages are being recognised now as needing help. So it must be an absolute minefield at the moment.
Yeah, and I think there's more people like me. I was fortunate enough to know my great-grandparents 50 years ago. That didn't happen. There are lots of people now who are four generations of a family, and people are living longer. With that comes the obvious impact and complications. It's about how we manage that moving forward, and it's almost a seamless link really to the other thing I wanted to talk about today, which is the adult social care reform. Lots is been made in the news about reforming adult social care, fixing adult social care, and with that comes an awful lot of work for my team. It's a great opportunity again to really get stuck in, look at what we've done and why we do it, and see whether there's a better and more efficient way of delivering great services to local people. Along with that comes the question of funding, and those conversations with central government are well underway. I'm very fortunate that our local councillors, that the Alliance group at the Isle of Wight Council, are lobbying hard to make sure that adult social care receive a fair settlement. We're supported by our MP, and that helps in terms of the conversations nationally around funding being allocated to adult social care right up and down the country, but I'm more concerned with what's allocated here on the Isle of Wight.
Good for you. And obviously Bob's involved, which is great, because he's getting closer to that age where he might need the help, so it makes sense to put something in place, doesn't it?
We're all getting closer to that age where we might need the help, Ian.
Yeah, all right, I know. and it does worry me.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, if people are out there and they are concerned, not just for themselves, but for other members of the family, what's their first port of call?
Their first port of call is my team. If they want to phone 01983 82 1000, it brings them through to the council. There's an option specifically for adult social care that doesn't take you to a contact centre, that takes you to a social worker or a social care officer who'll be able to listen to your concerns and direct you to the right place. We might not be the problem solver, we might be the problem, but we might not be the answer that you need to your specific problem. We can absolutely signpost you to the right place. So please make sure you pick up the phone, call the council, talk to somebody in adult social care, and we'll be able to help and direct you to where you can get the best support you need.
Yeah, and if you're worried, don't do nothing, do something.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, nobody knows.
Yeah.
And if nobody knows and you're not going to help yourself, then nobody will. And that's the sad thing. Do you find that when you've got such a vast role, a vast job and a vast problem, I guess, do you find yourself thinking, hey, look, it's not just about us. Families have to play a part in all of this as well.
Absolutely. And the informal carer, the unpaid carer, the husband, the wife, the daughter, the son, the niece, the nephew, give so much to the care industry that's unseen. We know that there are families who are supporting people who never come to me, who I don't know about, because the family are taking the strain, if you like, of that situation. My team are there to support the families and the carers as well. The responsibility isn't just for the cared for person or the person who needs the care and support. We can absolutely help families who are worrying about what they need to do or have questions about the best solution for mum, for dad, for nan, for granddad. We're able to help them to connect to groups and support groups and assessments that will help them in the longer term. So it really is important people pick up the phone. If you're struggling, the worst that can happen is I can say, it's not my team, but if you go to these people, you can get some help.
Yeah.
Or this group is there to support you, or have you considered this as an option? It's about that wider support rather than just an assessment and receiving care in a care home or care at home.
Credit to you and your team. And I know that Lizzie was in from UK Carers a couple of weeks
ago. Carers Isle of Wight, she's brilliant, is Lizzie.
What they do is amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. We were really lucky. About 3 years ago, we went out to tender for an organisation to support us, supporting carers locally, and Carers Isle of Wight won that contract, and we've worked really closely with them ever since. They help discharge my statutory functions, the obligations I have to local people who are informal carers. So we're really lucky to have Carers Isle of Wight.
I've got a bee in my bonnet, nothing at all to do with you, but I have done for the last couple of months, and I've sort of I let people know this is how I feel, and I think, got to do something. I can't sit on this and not do nothing. I get fed up of every month we get a message from statistics from the Office of National Statistics. They'll tell us that 3,000 people are currently drawing funds from 3,000 people from the Isle of Wight, and you think, right, so that's people, 3,000 people that are possibly not working, and we have an array of jobs. No one mentions the jobs. They just say, well, 3,000 people are draining the system. That's the way the news comes across. And I'm thinking, why don't we just do something where we say 3,000 people are unemployed at the moment, but there are X amount of jobs, and you've got X amount of jobs in your department, so how can we help? I want to make you a commercial.
You can make me a commercial.
I want to say, look, there are jobs in this sector, and all you've got to do is apply or go onto
Absolutely.
This website.
So we're currently in the process of pulling together a recruitment campaign for social care across the Isle of Wight. It's going to be called Be the Difference, because our social care workers really are. They make a tremendous difference to everyone they come into contact with. It will be a joint campaign for the local authority, but also for our independent providers. So for people who have care homes, people who provide home care, for PAs, for people who provide sitting services, all kinds of things. It will identify one place you can go to apply for a job. All of the jobs will be there, and it will really clearly show to everyone the number of vacancies that there are. In recent months, we've had job fairs, we've had career events, we've had ordinary advertising going on, use of social media to promote jobs. So the messages are out there, but if people are thinking about a career in adult social care, get in touch. We can signpost you where we need to, and I'd love to work with Vectis Radio around a campaign to roll out that Be the Difference message across the island.
Be the Difference, that's three words. I'm thinking, did you get Cummings involved in this? Because he's big on the slogan for three words, isn't he?
No, we didn't get him involved at all. Good. You'll be pleased to hear. We didn't pay anyone for the slogan. It was something the team came up with themselves.
Excellent. No, I mean, that's fabulous. Because this is going to help, obviously, the team that you've got. Obviously, if they're slightly understaffed or whatever, they are going to feel like under pressure, and we need to give them the support. So, when you've got the words for the commercial, when you've got the things sorted out, please send us, and we will make a commercial, and we will put it on the airwaves, and hopefully, we can fill those spots, because it will have a knock-on effect, and then we can say at the end of the month, when the Office of National Statistics say, oh, we've got 3,000 people that are unemployed, but we can say, yeah, but this month we've managed to fill X amount of jobs.
Brilliant.
And to me, that's what it's all about. It's
definitely
all about rolling that ball of positivity.
Yeah. There are two really key parts to my job. The first is our vulnerable population, making sure that they've got access to the care and support that they need, that their voice is heard, and that they've got real choice and control over how their needs are met. The second is the workforce. My staff matter a lot to me, and it's really important that they know that we invest in them, and that we recognise where they're under pressure, because there are vacancies that we just can't fill at the moment. So we need to be proactive across both areas.
That sounds brilliant. And did we talk about, because you mentioned Hannah off air.
I did, yes.
That was something we haven't done yet.
We haven't, no. That's so right. That was my ask to all of your listeners, as well as the water, as well as the wearing masks, as well as making sure your medication is in. I only come here with a shopping list for you all. I'm really sorry. We are just in the process of launching our, I was going to say attack, that's probably the wrong word, but our preparations for social care reform. As part of that, I need to know that the services my team are delivering are what needs to be delivered. There's no better way for me to be assured of that than to listen to local people. And we're starting to form a group of local people with lived experience of adult social care. So somebody who has been involved in adult social care or had adult social care for their families in the past, to act as advisors for us. A group of people where we can take our ideas, where we can take our proposals and our plans and say, does this make sense? Does this work for you? Can you think of a better way of doing this? What does good look like? So I mentioned Hannah because I know Hannah and I had a fantastic conversation when I was here the time before last, and we'd be really keen to get her but others involved who want to have their voice heard, who want to help us shape the future of adult social care locally, so that local people really do own the agendas my team are delivering moving forward.
To me it sounds common sense, but what a great idea, because I would imagine, and I know that this is mostly true, I'm just talking to Hannah, one of her biggest bugbears is that she thinks nobody's listening.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. And that's and we know that's not true, but that's how she feels, and that's something that maybe, you know, something like having these conversations, having these meetings are going to, you know, that will resolve. So I'm all for that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we rely heavily on surveys and consultations, but you can be surveyed to death. There's only so many times you want to put ticks in a box before you think, well, what's the point? Is anyone listening? This is a really engaged way of having a panel of people who've got experience that we don't have, who can tell us where we're getting it right, but as importantly, where we're getting it wrong. And it's through that conversation we can take that learning back into the teams and make sure that that shapes not only our practice but our decision making moving forward. So if any of your listeners want to be involved, if any of your listeners think, actually, yeah, I've had a mum who was supported by a home care agency and my experience was brilliant or wasn't brilliant, I'd ask them to get in touch with us, and I can give you an email address to which they can drop contact, or phone, same number, come through to Adult Social Care. Laura said, I'm interested. It's as simple as that.
Brilliant. So what's the email then?
So the email is very easy. It's ASC.
ASC.
At IOW.gov.uk.
Just do it again.
ASC.
Yeah.
At iow.gov.uk.
Get involved.
And the phone number, 01983 821 000, and then press the number for Adult Social Care.
Get involved.
Please.
Honestly, get
absolutely.
Involved.
Absolutely. I want to hear from you.
Because let's be honest, we're probably looking at the here and now, and you're probably, you know, that's the thing. But you've got the bigger job of, we've got to focus on the future as well, and that's going to help. If other people are telling you and giving you their, you know, information that will help you going forward, it must be a right minefield at the moment, because you've got enough on your plate now without thinking, well, what are we going to do in 5 years' time then?
Oh, I'd love a 30-year plan. I'd love to know what we're going to need to support people on the island to get old and to live the life that they choose 30 years from now. Bit of future gazing. What do I want as a person in my 70s from adult social care in the future? It's a big ship to turn, and we need lots of time to prepare. Knowing now what the future needs to look like enables us to start the process early to make sure that we can deliver. If we always do what we've always done, we'll always get what we always got. And that's a quote attributable to somebody.
Absolutely. Do you know what? I like that.
We need
that.
To change it.
I like that. And I like the fact that you're not thinking 5 years, you're thinking 30 years.
I am.
And okay, some people might think a little bit selfish because she's going to be 70 in a few years in 30 years' time. But no, see, that's what you want. You want somebody looking after things. I always remember some politician, a lady politician who was on that dance programme, and she wasn't very good and had a strange voice and no one liked her, and I didn't like her.
Was it Anne Widdecombe?
Anne Widdecombe. And she said...
Great description.
She said... yeah, got it. Minds attuned. She said back in 1992, the NHS needs fixing. We need to build for the future. No one listened to her. No one listened to her. And, you think now, yes, we've got a situation now where we're coping, but it's going to get worse, it's going to get tougher, and we need to put things in place to counteract that.
If we're going to make a difference, we've got a plan. It really is that simple. And I guess I am a bit selfish about it. I was born here. I grew up here and I choose to live here. I want to get old here too. And actually, that probably gives me a bigger incentive than most people to really make a difference in the services that we have.
Okay. And people can help.
Definitely.
Because all I need to do, just get in touch and you can do all of that. Any more advice before you go?
Just back to the drinking water and staying cool. I think it's because I'm warming up again. It's all about making sure you look after yourself over the next 7 days, always, but specifically over the next 7 days with the heat that we've got. And please, if you have vulnerable neighbours, if you have elderly people living next door to you on their own, just pop by and check up on and make sure they're doing okay and that there's nothing that they need.
Yeah, do it though, because you people out there, they say, oh yeah, Laura said I'll do that later. No, do it. Make sure you do. I might even give my mum a call later.
Make sure you do.
I've said it now, haven't I?
And on the radio.
Hey, look, it's always a pleasure to spend some time with you. I think what you do is great. I think your team are fantastic. And I know that, you know, there are tough times out there and they ain't going to get any easier. But it's good to know you've got somebody at the helm that cares.
There's a team that care. And they're absolutely there to do the very best for Island residents. So please make use of us.
Thank you, Laura. And it's good practice for when I get old as well, and you've got to look after me.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick tune into the break. We've got some Plastic Mermaids coming up with Throwing Stones at the Moon. It's 20 to 1.
Local music on Vectis Radio is sponsored by Willie's Guitar Shop in Cowes. We don't just sell guitars, we also offer restringing, setups, accessories and repairs. Visit us at 12 Shooters Hill, Cowes, or give us a call on 01983 242 680.